Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Well, today I'm bringing you the last installment of the Thrive series. We pray you've enjoyed this. We hope that it has helped you come alive in your dreams and in your thinking, and for you to be encouraged, getting ready to see out this year, but getting ready for 2021 and just renewing our hopes, because that's what God has got planned for us. He hasn't called us to simply survive, but to thrive. Amen. So today's message, as you could probably have already seen, is called Ringjoice. Well, we don't actually want you to ringjoice. That actually comes from what I'm going to be speaking about today, and that is we ought to rejoice. But when I first got saved, I went to this church. Remember, I've never been a Christian, I got saved around the Christmas period, and there was lots of Christmas songs going on and lots of songs about ringing joice. And some of you are like, what do you mean? Well, it was ring joice, and again I say ring joice. And I'm thinking, who's this Joyce lady that is so important that 300 people ought to be singing that we got to ring joice? Well, it wasn't ring joice, it was rejoice. Now, sorry for the lack of intelligence on my part, but today I'm going to be speaking into that, because some of you may not have realized why we have chosen to use the book of Philippians as our basis for this series to thrive. And that is because Philippians is known as the happy book. The Apostle Paul uses the word joy and rejoice 16 times in 104 verses. It is jam-packed full of a dedication to rejoice. And the thing about it is that's quite amazing, considering the fact that the Apostle Paul wrote this while he was in a dingy Roman dungeon. That's a hard thing to get out. But he was in a place where he was chained up. He was malnourished, yet he is writing to us, telling us to rejoice. The apostle believed something that many of us have forgotten. And then he finally gets to the crowning point, the crowning verse of this whole letter. And we find it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." That's a really peculiar way for him to write that. When the Bible says something once, it's important. When it says it twice, tattoo it on your forehead. This is an important command from the Apostle Paul. He knew something about rejoicing. And we're going to learn a little bit about that today, because it will help us to thrive. And how do I know that? Because the word rejoice here in the Greek is the word, wait for it, chairo. Chairo, yeah, you got to put the ch on, right? I've studied this, chairo. So have a go at it, chairo, because you're going to be hearing that word a lot during this message. But what does it mean? What does chairo mean? This is what it actually means. It means to be glad. Oh, that's awesome. It means to rejoice exceedingly. That's great. You used it in salutations to say hello and to say goodbye. But here's the power punch. It means to be well and to thrive. Boom. There it is. Mic drop. See you later, guys. Have a great day. That's so powerful. That's the word he's using the whole way through the book of Philippians. It's not just about a little bit of fun. No, it means to thrive and to be well. And then he goes on and tells us in the next few verses, the power of this rejoicing happens when we do these things. And Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything." There's no room in that statement for a little bit of anxiety. He says, but in every situation, look at these words that he's using. There's just no room to get around what he's trying to say. He says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, watch this, present your requests to God. And it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul knows that peace and the guarding of our heart and mind only happens when we do that first part, which is to rejoice. That's what we need to do in order to thrive, guys. And so I'm going to break this down for us. But the thing that we need to realize is it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. He is saying you've got to do this, guys. Now, this is not unfamiliar to the Apostle Paul or to anyone who was listening to him who knew the Old Testament, because in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, halfway through it says, do not be dejected or sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So to the listeners, when Paul was writing these letters, they knew these verses. And he's telling us to rejoice. Now, I know some of you are sitting back right now and you're, yeah, look, that's easy for you to say, Pastor Rich, but you don't realize the things that have happened in my life. I mean, I've got relationship breakdown, and some people have got mental health issues, and some people have got businesses that have just gone bankrupt. And I know that people have got a whole lot of things going on. And listen, let me just make something very, very clear. It's easy for you to say, Pastor Rich, you know what? It probably is. You know what? I've got some things going on in my life. And for me to just sort of flippantly say, rejoice, guys. Yeah, it's probably easy for me to say because, you know, I am still living in a lovely home and my wife hopefully still loves me. But I'm not the one telling you to rejoice. It's the Apostle Paul. Now, let's have a look at a little bit at his life. This is what he says about himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, I need you to read this with me, verses 24 to 27. Just bear with me for a moment. Watch this. Five times, he says, I've received 39 lashes from the Jewish leaders. Five times. Three times I experienced being beaten with rods, and once they stoned me. Wow. Three times I've been shipwrecked. For an entire night and day I was adrift in the open sea. In my difficult travels, he says, I faced many dangerous situations, perilous rivers, robbers, foreigners, and even my own people. I've survived deadly peril in the city, in the wilderness, with storms at sea, with spies posing as believers. I've toiled to the point of exhaustion. I've gone through many sleepless nights. I've frequently been deprived of food and water, left hungry and shivering out in the cold, lacking proper clothing. Man, I'm just exhausted reading this guy's life. And that's the guy that says, rejoice. This guy, he's the one saying, guys, yeah, I know I've experienced all of that, but rejoice, be happy, have some joy in your life. And I tell you what he's saying, that same word, remember I was saying it's used in a salutation. It's the same word you would use, chairo, when you would say hello to somebody or when you would say goodbye to somebody. Why? Because what they're saying is, no matter what you're saying hello to and what you're saying goodbye to right now in your life, I don't know what's coming your way. I don't know what situation you are exiting. But either way, the Bible says we ought to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And my purpose today is to put a spirit of rejoicing into you, to shake off the doldrums, get ourselves out of that rut, start dreaming again. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to get our rejoice on, and somebody needs to say amen in Jesus' name. Whew, man, I'm getting exhausted up here. Hey, some of you may or may not know this, but a few years ago, I actually showed the people of Lifehouse Church an article. And the article simply said this: happy people are more attractive. Yeah, that's right. Happy people are more attractive. And the article just talked about how people who have a smile on their face, who have got a bounce in their step, you might not have the facial features of a model, but there is something about you that's attractive. And you know, when I read that article, it stood out to me because at the time, this was about 3 years ago, there was a young couple and intimacy in the bedroom had just completely died off, and the male in this situation was really unhappy about that. And so I brought them in and I had a bit of a chat with the young lady and him and trying to determine what's happened here in this relationship. And she said, Pastor Rich, can I just be honest? He comes home and he's just always sad. The cares of the world are upon his shoulder. And the words she actually used was, he's a bit of a sourpuss. And she says, and I just don't find that romantic or attractive or sexy. And you know what? That was an eye-opener for this young guy. And from that day, he leaves work at home, and his drive home is where he renews his mind. He gets his rejoice on. He gets his chairo on. And by the time he gets home, he opens up the door and says, honey, I'm home. And maybe we shouldn't be going there, but my point is, that's very attractive. And I'm telling you right now, some of us need to get out of that sourpuss mode. We need to get out of the world is upon our shoulders mode. Look, I know life can be tough, but you're not helping yourself. You're not helping your family, your work colleagues, your employees by holding on to that spirit. No, we've got to shake ourselves out of it. We've got to do what the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Amen. Come on, we've got to get our chairo on. And do you know what I love about this thing called joy or rejoicing? Jesus, in John chapter 16, verse 22, he says, he's talking about himself leaving the earth, right? He says, so with you, he says, now is your time of grief. So in other words, hey, listen, there is a time to grieve things, no doubt about it. This isn't one of those shallow messages about, you know, life is falling apart, but keep a smile on your face. No, no, no. There is a time to grieve, no doubt about it. And life's events can have a huge impact upon our soul and our spirit. He says, but I will see you again, he says, and you will rejoice. That's that word, chairo. You will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. Now, that's Jesus speaking. No one will take away your joy. Now, the truth is, no one can take away your joy, but you can give it away. You know, a few years ago, I asked the question to our church. I think it was at a conference, actually, and I said, you know, joy, it's a beautiful thing that God gives us. And I asked people, you know, how much would you pay if somebody walked up to you and said, can I have your joy? What price tag would you put on it? What amount of money would you put on your joy? And, you know, when you're asked that question, I think the answer for everybody is, oh, there's just no amount of money that you could ever put on my joy. I need my joy. You're not taking my joy off me. No way. And then I related the story, and I'm just going to remind some of you of the story that, you know, it was at that time, I think it still exists, when Shell Petroleum, they have this coupon offer where, you know, you fill up your car and then you show them the coupon from the supermarket and you get 10 cents off per litre or something like that. Well, at the time, I had a car that actually would take about 120 litres of fuel, right? And so I thought, man, I'm going to rip this system off. So I waited until there was not one drop left in my car. And I turned up and I filled the thing up. And it was a fortune. Honestly, you could have bought a small investment property for the amount of petrol I put into that car. And I walked in with my coupon and I showed it to the lady and she went, boop. And then it came up with the discount, but, you know, I can do my maths. And it was only on 100 litres. This car was 160, or 100, it was more than 100 litres. And I said, but hang on a minute. She goes, I'm so sorry, sir. It's only up to 100 litres. And I was furious. I was so upset. I said, what do you mean? That's the biggest ripoff. I can't believe it. Anyway, I took my thing and I walked out. And as I was leaving that service station, I felt the Holy Spirit say, you just sold your joy for $7. $7, I gave it away. How much would you sell your joy for, Richard? It's priceless. No, it's not, $7. That's all it took, $7, and it was gone. And some of you are like, hey, that's so funny that he did that. Come on, you've lost your joy over a car park because you had to walk an extra 15 metres. Seriously, there were 30 car parks 20 metres away. But no, you had to have that one right next to the store. And because you didn't get it, you lost your joy. Come on, some ladies, you lost your joy because you didn't get the reception center that you wanted. Some guys have lost their joy because, you know, that pig was just running a little bit too quickly and you didn't get to shoot. I don't know what you have lost your joy over, but you can lose your joy so quickly. But we've got to make a choice that during this season, we are going to pick up our spirit of joy and we are going to do what the Apostle Paul says and we're going to rejoice always in the Lord, and again, I will say rejoice. Friends, let me just make this statement clear and boldly. Christians are supposed to be the people that light up the room. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Do you know, the Bible says that joy is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Now, we read that, but before we get there, have a look at this. It says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Have a listen to this. It says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Hey, listen, there's no doubt about it that love is something that you can feel. You feel love, but love is actually a doing word. When you say you love someone, that means you're willing to sacrifice for them with your body, with your actions, with your time and your talents and your treasure, right? Do you know, when it comes to joy, it's definitely something that you feel. No doubt about it. You can feel joyful and you can feel rejoicing. That's great. But it's actually a doing word as well. In other words, joy should permeate out of you. People should know by the way you express yourself that you are full of joy. There's no use us walking into work with our shoulders down and we've got this look on our face, but on the inside you've got joy. Yeah, that's great, but how do people know about your joy? It's time for us to open up ourselves and let people know that there is a God in heaven who is empowering us to be filled with joy. They've got to see it on your face. They've got to see it in your hands and your smile and your comments. Do you know, I've heard this illustration a long, long time ago and it's always stood out to me. Do you know, there are people in your world and, you know, when they walk into a room, they are the sun. You know, the sun in our galaxy, right? Like, they just emanate light and warmth and they light up a room when they come in. And, you know, there's not many of those people around. Most people are what we call the moon and they reflect the sunlight. So, you know, they also, when that person comes into the room, they love that light and then they take on that light and then they start showing light to others just like our moon does. You know, our moon doesn't actually have its own light. It reflects the sun's light, right? So you've got sun people and then you've got moon people, but the person you don't want to be is the black hole person. You don't want to be that person. The person that you know when you walk up to them, hey, how you going? And it's just misery. And it's the woes of the world. And it's the political situation. And it's what's going on around, you know, the world at the moment. Hey, listen, don't be known as that person. Yes, maybe give a little bit of an opinion about something, but you know what? At the end of the day, that's not what people need. People need some joy. Don't be black holes draw you into their gravity, right? And you'll notice those people, they just draw you. Can't get out of that conversation and you're there and it just, and you know what else it does? It actually takes all the energy out of the star that's going by. You know what? These people, they've got the ability to do that. Number one, don't be that person. And number two, maybe help them not to be a black hole, hey? Charles Spurgeon, a powerful preacher, I've been listening to a lot of his messages lately, in the 1800s, he said this. He says, our happy God should be worshipped by happy people. I love that. Our happy God should be worshipped by happy people. Hey, listen, the Apostle Paul here, he gives a command. Rejoice, guys. Again, I say rejoice. And you know what? It's a command that we need to, you know what? Sometimes we've got to confront people in a beautiful, gentle way. But when you see that someone is just not rejoicing, you know, if somebody was really hurting someone, if somebody was trying to murder somebody, for example, right? You would be horrified and you would try and stop it because it's a command. Thou shalt not murder, right? If somebody was trying to steal something, you would say, don't steal, it's wrong. You know, in the same way, the Apostle Paul says, rejoice. And again, so when someone's not rejoicing, you know what? We ought to gently confront them and say, hey, come on, lift up your eyes. Come on, stop being so negative. God has still got more for us. There is far more ahead of us than there is behind us. God's still got plans and dreams and purposes that he wants to fulfill through your life and my life. And we've got to encourage each other. You know, we get to do a lot of this stuff. We don't got to do it. You know, I get to go to church. I get to preach, not I've got to preach. Come on, we're going to get a whole lot more of I get to. You know, I get to take my wife out on a date, not a got to take my wife out on a date. No, I get to spend time with my kids, not got to spend time with my kids. Change your thinking, friends. Don't use the words I've got to. No, we get to. You know, some of you are like, yeah, but you know, I've got to wash my car. And no, you get to wash a car that you own. The fact that you own it, guys, are you hearing me? Right? I've got to cut the grass. No, you get to cut the grass because you own a home or you're living in a home. Lots of people would love to cut grass, but they don't live in a home. Are you hearing me? So come on, we've got to change our thinking. Don't get involved in people's doom and gloom. You getting something out of this? Come on, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. This is our last message in this Thrive series. That word rejoice means to thrive and to be well. To thrive and to be well. It's how powerful it is. Some of us remember in Nehemiah chapter 6, the Bible says that he had just completed the wall. And because he had just completed the wall, or should I say the walls, the gaps were closing. And then in verse 2, it says, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. So there's two guys, they saw that Nehemiah was achieving something with his life. And these two guys come up to him and they say, come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. Did you like, listen to the name of this place, Ono. They wanted him to stop the work that he was doing and come down, they're saying, to the plain of oh no. Hey, some of us are getting involved in conversations where you're coming down from where God wants you to be, and you're coming down to the plane of, oh no. In other words, when you walk away from that conversation, all you feel is, oh no, rather than, oh my, God is for me. God is not against me. And then it says, and what was their intention? It says, but they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messages to them with this reply. Watch this. I am carrying on a great project and I cannot go down. Come on, that's got to be our attitude. Hey, listen, I'm doing some good things with my life. I can't be involved in that. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? And what's this? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. These people were begging Nehemiah, get off the wall, stop the great project that you're doing, and come and join us in our misery. And he said, not doing it. And so they sent another message. Not doing it. And third one, not doing it. The fourth one, not coming to the village and to the plains of oh no. And can I encourage you, don't go down to that village. Don't go to those plains. We went and visited a couple recently and we walked in the door and, you know, it's the same conversation. How are you going? We're in a lockdown, COVID, masks. And I love this guy. He just goes, hey, listen, we're not talking about COVID. We're not mentioning the word once. We're going to talk about our dreams and where we're headed and what we're going to be doing. And you know what? It was so amazing because we started to dream again. And then once in a while, when we wanted to go to the village and to the plains of oh no, he would go, no, let's stay up here. And it was amazing. Now, I'm going to give full credit to that guy because he was the one that said, we're not doing this. We're going to keep believing, keep dreaming. Are you with me? Hey, listen, during this season, actually, look, just come in here for a minute, right? Do you know friendships have been broken and really damaged during this season because everyone has got involved in the plane of oh no with their political speeches and what they think about everything? And I just can't believe that people have let, like, friendships that have been, you know, loving and kind toward each other for 10 years over something like that. Why would you lose a friendship? Why would you go down off the wall and go down to the plane of Facebook and start making comments and hurting each other via Facebook? Listen, I think the enemy is laughing and carrying on because he has got us where he wants us to be. No, let's get back up on the wall and let's live the life that we've been called to. Now, listen, people have been saying things about each other. Now, let me be a real dad pastor right here. Maybe you don't even attend Lifehouse, but can I just speak right into your life right now? Hey, listen, I know people may be saying things about you, but don't join in the rot. Don't be a part of it, friend. Take the high road. Let God justify you. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 to 12. He says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Then verse 12 says, rejoice. That's that same word, chaidol. There it is. Jesus is using it. He says, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus is saying, listen, guys, don't get involved in the nonsense. People are going to say things about you. Oh, you should stand up. You're too weak. I don't care what you think. I'm here to love God and to rejoice. Now, can I encourage every single person watching right now? Come on, guys. This is what our lives need if we're going to start thriving. Let's get away from all the distractions and get back to what God wants us to do. Now, I think the pivotal point of this scripture is he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I'm not telling you to just somehow sum up this rejoicing, this joy. No, no. It happens in the Lord. But how does it happen? Well, in Luke chapter 20, verse 10, watch this. The disciples have come back having cast out demons out of people and they cannot believe the power that they have got to perform the supernatural. So they come back to Jesus And they say, can you believe what we can do? And then he says, however, do not rejoice. That's that word chairo again. He says, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. He says, but rejoice. Here it comes. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's what we are rejoicing about. In other words, no matter what goes on earth, whether it's good or whether it's bad or whether it's mediocre, what Jesus is saying is, guys, at the end of the day, what we should be really rejoicing about is that our names are in his book. In other words, regardless of what comes and goes, when it comes to the end, we are going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. And we're going to look back to these times on earth and think, what were we stressed about? What were we worried about? That's what we're doing, friends. Can I tell you, standing there one day, waiting to hear your name called, you know, I think I know what that feels like. Helen and I, pre all this stuff, we used to have what we call staff travel, where you get to fly at a discounted rate through Qantas, and it was an incredible offer, except that you don't quite know if you're going to get on the plane. And what happens is you have to wait until almost every passenger is on. The plane's literally about to take off. And then what they've got in front of them is a whole list of names. And then what they do is there's about 20 people, but there's only 10 tickets. And then what they'll do is they'll start to call out your name, and they'll say, Mr. Jones, and then Mr. Jones comes forward, Mrs. Jones. Now, believe it or not, sometimes a couple don't get on the plane. So they'll choose one person, but not the other. And it's determined on ranking, how long you have been working there, right? So you'll be waiting there, and all of a sudden you'll see that person go, and then that person go, and you know there's only two tickets left, but there's four people. And you're in London, and you're stuck there, and it's 4 a.m. in the morning, and you're thinking, man, I hope I get on this plane. And you're just waiting for your name to be called out. Now listen, that doesn't compare to what's going to happen in heaven one day, but it resembles it, okay? Where one day there's going to be a whole lot of people standing before the throne of God, and God's going to open up his book and he's going to be calling out your name. Who's going to be there? It's going to be the people that have made him their king. It's the people that, regardless of what has happened on earth, these are the people that are focused on their relationship with him, in loving him, in wanting to move forward. Can I challenge you right now? Friend, I don't know what your relationship with God is like, but here's a question for you. Do you know whether your name is written in that book or not? Because I know my name's in there. And it's so simple to actually have your name in there. All you need to do is ask Jesus, Jesus, I humble myself. I ask for your forgiveness. I want your spirit inside me. And friend, if you will pray that prayer, Jesus will come. He'll forgive you, bring his peace, his joy, his comfort. He'll bring everything that he is, and your name in a heartbeat will be written in the Lamb's book of life. And friend, when that happens, there's a rejoicing that comes that the world cannot take away. It can't do it. It just can't take it away. And that's what we ought to be rejoicing over. You know, I'm going to leave you with this scripture. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 18 says this. It says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, and even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. How powerful is that? What's he saying? Regardless of what's going on, I can still have joy in my life.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.